And welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Thunder. We got a lot going on today, and we're pumped up about the next five games of the Thunder, Dave. What do you think we're going to do with those five games?
Man, listen, if we don't go 0-5, I'll be shocked. We could lose a game because we have a back-to-back in there, but the reality is that this team is primed and playing
incredibly well. No, you said 0-5. Did you mean 5-0?
I mean, did I say 0-5? Did I really?
You did.
Wow. Okay, well, I knocking on wood here, I'm going to change. 5-0, guys. 5-0. Right. We're going to win five games in a row right here.
So we're talking Pelicans, Spurs, Nets, Raptors, and Suns, bro. So the Suns is going to be tough. We know that.
But the Suns aren't healthy for the next 2-3 weeks.
Pelicans is another bookend, right?
Yep. You got Pelicans that are Zion Williams is out for the season, it looks like, at this point. To me, these are the games that we have to win.
Did you hear Steven Adams is out for the season?
And Adams is out for the season with the injection to the knee.
Okay.
Stem cell injection, I think it was. I don't think stem cell suction would work, but stem cell injection would. So anyways, Adams is out for the season. You also have Morant, which everybody's talking about Morant right now, which they should be because everybody's wondering if Morant's going to continue to play. But the reality is that they're dipping down in the West right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they fold. They own their pick this year. Why not fold? Cash in that pick. See what happens next year.
You're talking about the Grizzlies?
So, I'm talking about Grizzlies, bro.
Grizzlies
I'm talking
are like tied for third or second.
But
in the
listen
West.
Here, man. This is what's happening. They're not far back from out of the playoffs. Okay. I think they're like 6 or 7 games. And you say, oh, that's a lot. But listen, that's not a lot. You know, that is not a lot. And if you're looking at the Grizzlies, you're saying we have no Steven Adams. We have no Morant. We have no Clark. We're hurt. Get Morant right in the head. Get Steven Adams ready to go. And if we can win some of these games, great. But if we go 0-15 or 0-16, so be it. And we can actually have an opportunity to get a good draft pick. Because look, Memphis Grizzlies are the team in my mind that's always thinking about the draft. They're the ones that I was scared personally that were going to jump us to get J-Dub. Like, that's how serious I was that Memphis Grizzlies were going to jump us to get J-Dub. So if there is a team that's looking for the future consistently, it's the Memphis Grizzlies. So that's why I wouldn't be surprised if they'd make that decision to at least try to get their draft chances better, which ultimately helps us out. Because if you think about it, Grizzlies not healthy, Pelicans not healthy, Lakers not healthy. I mean, we could go down the list. Golden State's finally getting there. But I mean, this is where we're at. We knew this was coming. We knew the end of the season was coming. And all we wanted was these guys to be healthy for that final 20-game push. And now in the we're 3-1 on this push so far in the last 20 games. Like, this is exactly where we're at that we need to be at. So we got to continue putting that foot on the pedal. And this next five games, in my opinion, are the moments that we get to flex our muscles.
Yeah, dude. It's going to be nice to have a game against the Spurs in there. The Nets aren't
the second,
great.
Isn't it the second of the doubleheader too, which is even better?
So we don't – for the Spurs, I'm not sure, but we don't have any short rest over the next five games, which is another very good thing.
We have a doubleheader in here, man. Hold on. Let me pull it up here. All right. We have
– Oh, you're right. It goes Pelicans,
Spurs. So Spurs are second of the doubleheader, which in my opinion is big. If it was the Pelicans, the second of the doubleheader, I'd be more concerned. But being that it's the Spurs, I think that we have a better chance at winning that game at a doubleheader than the Pelicans as a doubleheader.
Right. So that's nice to have the soft spot on the second half of the doubleheader versus the other way around this time where we played the Suns on the second part of the doubleheader, which was like getting kicked in the nuts, really.
And then we got the Nets, but they have a better record than us right now in the East. 37 and something. They're above 500. 37 and 35, whatever.
Right.
29. So I look at this Nets team, but they're not full strength. You're not clicking on all cylinders. They don't really necessarily want to win at this point. So you know, that's another winnable game. And then you got the Raptors, in my opinion, another game that we need to win. You know, the Raptors are fighting in their own way to get to the playoffs, but this is going to be one of those games that we have to come out. It's going to be a homecoming for Shea and a homecoming for Dort of sorts. So I'm expecting big things from them. And then, of course, we finish up this five-game trip with back home with the Suns. And that's the game that we have to have revenge because, you know, Coach D is pissed off about how it went with the Suns. And, you know, keeping Booker in the game until, like, 4 minutes left in the game, already up by 25. Come on. That's bullshit. That's rubbing the scores in. That's just padding your scores. Coach D is not one of those dudes that likes it. So He's already circled this. I guarantee you on the 19th, and that's a Sunday at 3:30. And I'm telling you guys, Coach D is going to have these guys ready to play in that game. So that's the end of the five games. And that's why I think that we go 5-0.
We've always searched. We've always looked at these times where we have the two games against the same team in a short time period. You know, after the Suns game, we go twice in a row against the Clippers, right? Mm. Anytime we saw these in the beginning of the season or before the season started, when the schedule was released, we're like, this is Coach Daigneault's time to shine. He goes out there and he plays. We may not win the first one. We study the film. We make adjustments. We come back a better team. Last year, the year previous, as COVID was starting to like show how it affected the schedule, there was a lot of these games where you played the same team twice in a row. And Coach Daigneault shines in those moments. So this second game against the Suns is that game. We looked at it. We said, post-All-Star game, we're going to be seeing the Suns in a back-to-back. And then we're going to come back and we're going to have a chance to really get back at them. Now, they could have KD back. So they could be full strength. But at the same time, we could be full strength. And I like our chances.
Yeah, you're right. And I love the fact that you brought Coach D in here. And I want to shine some light on the other's coaching stats because we just been playing really well. And I want to tip my hat right now to Coach Cameron Woods. He is the G League coach this year. Phenomenal job. Coach Gibbs was a G League coach last year, but Cameron Woods is doing a great job with those young players and getting them playing hard. Throw it out there, Coach Gibbs. He has stepped up and is one of the assistant coaches for Mark Daigneault this year. I love what he is doing. He is truly spectacular in getting a hold of those guys, and especially working with the guards. He's just a great guy. And then Coach Bliss, who works with the centers and the big guys. Also, I see him working with the guards, but Coach Bliss is truly a spectacular development mental coach. In my opinion, these three guys are the reason, the assistant coaches are the reason that this team is doing so well. Yes, we can say that Coach D's effectiveness as coaching is great, but being able to develop these players and at a high rate like these guys are is everything. You know, if you guys can, go look those guys up, go look at their careers, go look at where they played. And then you've got also Coach Chip England, that has truly changed the way our guys shooting.
And one thing to look at is the Suns. Their coaching staff is really a former coaching staff group of our coaches. Monty Williams was an assistant coach for us. Then you look down the bench, they have a number of assistants that came from us. And when you heard Darius Arch talking about going to the Thunder, he said he had heard a lot of good things. And somebody asked from who, and he said the coaches. A lot of the coaches have experience in Oklahoma City. So looking at the Suns coaching staff and saying that's like a mature version of our young coaching staff is a really good comp.
Yeah, and I'll say this, I'll be honest with you, is that if Monty Williams didn't lose his wife in Oklahoma City when he was assistant coach here, our coaching staff would look completely different. It would look completely different. I think Monty Williams would have been a head coach for a long time with us. It's unfortunate that happened.
And that was one of the emotional saddest days in the history of Oklahoma City. I mean, I know a lot of people may not know about
it. I cried. Yeah, I cried.
His wife,
man.
And like, I think a number of his children died in a car wreck.
It was a lady from Oklahoma City that was driving like 75 in a 35 mile per hour zone and on meth or whatever. It was just dumb. Anyways, anytime I see that Suns are coming to Oklahoma City, it draws an emotional aspect out of it because I know it's an emotional thing for Monty Williams and the players and the coaching staff because like Mark said, a lot of these coaching staffs were there with Monty Williams when this all happened. And it's just a powerful, powerful part about the game is that when some stuff like this happens, the community that grows around you is truly spectacular. And Monty Williams, in my opinion, is the embodiment of what a man should be like in the NBA and what a human being should be like in the NBA. And he's given his whole life. He's given everything for the NBA. And I look at what he's doing with the Suns, and I really hope that he is able to win a championship because out of anybody besides Coach D that deserves a championship, I think Monty Williams does. And again, it's just a powerful moment that we had last night watching the Suns destroy us, or two nights ago, whatever, watching the Suns destroy us. But now we recognize that there's going to be something that's going to be bigger than life coming up, and that's going to be on Sunday the 19th at 3:30.
So how do we handle the punches the Suns throw at us and then attack getting downhill? Basically, you study the film, you recognize the actions they want, and one thing you hear Coach Daigneault talk about over and over and over again is we have to be assertive with our defense. We got to get in passing lanes, we got to create turnovers, we got to get out and run. And that's something that we really didn't do very well against the Suns, but that's okay because their objective as a team is to avoid that at all costs. So how do we make our game plan imprint our mission on their game plan. And the way to do that is, frankly, Shea and J-Dub coming out and playing those jumbo wings for us. Because if we got Giddy, Shea, and J-Dub playing those passing lanes, all those passes that were to open shots with Booker are getting deflections. There's a chance that we have a get out and run. Like, everything good happens when we create deflections and we run.
Man, you're right. And if you look at the way that these guys played defense against the Suns this last time, I felt like the Suns were the ones that were creating the first contact on offense. And to me, that's the opposite the way it should be. The defensive players, if you're a good defensive team, needs to be the people that are making the first contact, especially the guys with the ball. You got to get up there in their faces. If you're up there in their faces and you're making yourself known with body-body contact, like, it's going to be a lot harder to get around you. You know, it's going to be a lot harder to take that type of insult and harassment for 48 minutes in a game. You know, I felt like we were playing them off of them a lot of it this last game, and not allowing our defense to create that first contact. And when you let the offense create that first contact, it's because they're already past you. They've already driven past you. They already have two dribbles past you, and then they're wrapping their arm around to go up. I mean, it's over. You know, like, there's nothing you can do at that moment. So that's why we have to look at this, and we have to get up there on defense. We have to make them feel uncomfortable. We have to feel like we're already in their asshole, and there's nothing they can do to get us out. And then the problem was, this last game we played against them, like, there was no friction. There was nothing. It was like, we let them do what they wanted to do, and they scored 132 points doing so, and that's just the way that's going to go unless we are able to step up as a team.
So that's what we're looking for, man. We want to get up in their assholes, and we want to make sure we stay there the whole game. That's it, baby. Like a truly well-designed butt plug, we're there for you guys. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to see you next time. Thunder up.